Hallelujah. Amen. Well, this morning we are going to review for the new. Because old things pass away, old things become new. The old things that pass away are the old things that are nothing. But the things that Jesus did don't pass away because Jesus is alive and working today. Through you, through me.
Amen.
You know, when farmers pray for rain, they pray for rain on their crops. It's okay in the fields that don't have a crop in them, but you prefer to have land where something's going to grow, right? If you drove past somebody's yard and they were watering dirt, you would think that they had grass seed planted there. But if you stopped and after a month or so and said, I think your seed's no good, nothing's growing, and they said, oh, I haven't planted anything. You'd think that that's silly. God is pouring out His Spirit on all flesh. And His Spirit and the Word always do what it's allowed to do. You see, we think that God just forces things on people. But He doesn't. But it's there. The opportunity's there. Like Dwayne said, it's there. The opportunity's there. But we have to step into it. We have to step in to the good news of the kingdom of God. And so, we're reviewed for the new, because we want something new, don't we? I do. I've experienced a lot of wonderful things from God, and I know. Have you experienced anything wonderful from God in your life? Think about that. And if you have, write it down. And consider that often, the wonderful things. Because it's amazing the things you come up with when you consider God. This week as I was considering God and considering the times in my life that I know He had to have intervened before I was saved. And I thought, I wonder how often God had to intervene during Jesus' first 30 years. How often did God step in to rescue Him? Because we know that the enemy was after him. We know one very large example when the angel told Joseph, get out of here. Now some people would say, well, you got Jesus on there, but all those other children died. Evil's an evil thing. There is evil. But we know that the Bible tells us where sin does much to abound, grace does much more. The thing that just became clear in my mind, you know, sometimes the Lord gives you just little snapshots. And He spoke to me yesterday morning. He said, grace does. And I thought, you know, that's true. Grace does. Does is an action. Grace does. And then when you understand that grace does, you realize that grace does much more. Little things that God does, we know God can do much more. Yesterday, when I was getting ready to leave Rapid, there were just some little sprinkles on the windshield of my motorcycle, and I said, Lord, I'd really like to get home without getting wet. And the Lord said, don't talk to me. Talk to the weather. I said, okay then. Rain, go to the north and the south of the interstate, but I want the interstate dry for me. Now, there were probably about 12 sprinkles of rain that hit me on the trip. And when the rain hit me, of course, the enemy would try to say, see, you're getting rained on. I said, no, I'm getting sprinkled. It's refreshing. But I came all the way home dry. I saw people coming toward me in rain gear. I saw people stopping ahead of me to put on rain gear, so they apparently had been in rain. But I believe that God blessed me. And consequently, he blessed everyone else that rode around me. He also protected me because it was a safe ride. A crazy safe ride. Traffic? Oh my goodness. Motorcycles, trucks pulling trailers full of motorcycles, motorhomes pulling trailers full of cycles. It's amazing. People pulling trailers full of cycles seem to forget about people on cycles. I'm driving by these people, I'm just shaking my head, and I'm going, God, do they forget what it's like to be on a motorcycle? But it makes no difference, because if God be for me, who can be against me? But I tell you that because in all of these things, I see and I thank the Lord. I'm beginning to have the eyes of my understanding open, and I'm seeing, and I'm giving him thanks for everything. Because it is from him. It's all from him. If it's bad, it's not God. So if it's bad, I want to drive it away. If it's God, I want to give him thanks for it. And so we want to review for the new. In other words, what did Jesus do? What he did? We should think, what you see Jesus do, do. Because grace does. Great grace is upon you. Now, the enemy would love to have us throw in the towel. When it sprinkled, he would have loved to have had me say, oh, it's all gone. When I was taking off, he told me, he said, I want you just to go down 90. I don't want you to go up to Sturgis to come home. I said, okay. But he said, I want you to pray. He said, I want you to pray that righteousness strikes like lightning. Now, there were storms, and there was rain, and there was a hailstorm in Denver, and there was all kinds of stuff going on throughout the week. We sat down by one couple, and they said that they'd been in two rainstorms and a hailstorm while they had been there. Now, Shiloh and I did have the opportunity to get, she went for a ride with me, and we got wet on the way to Sturgis, and we found a canopy with a open spot at the gas station. Every place was just full of them, but there was a place for us. So we bought some gas, waited for it to quit. Sun came out. Oh, this is good. Drove through, just praying. Now, there are opportunities to pray in service. There are so many opportunities to pray that you don't know what to pray. And that's why I'm so thankful that I pray in tongues. And we pulled out and started heading down the road. And Shiloh says, looks like we're going to drive into the storm again. I said, well, guess maybe we are. Praise the Lord, there was an overpass. So we did the motorcycle huddle underneath an overpass. We were right there, dry as could be. It was wonderful. Got to see some people. More people, more opportunities to pray. But yesterday on the way home, my new prayer is to pray for righteousness to strike like lightning. Imagine if righteousness strikes like lightning and starts a fire. And a fire of righteousness. Amen. What would righteousness do? What would it change in your life? What could it change in the life of those around you? What would happen? Just imagine. And God said, don't underestimate the power of a prayer like that. You see, in our minds, we say something like that. We say, oh, wow. But in the heavenly, that's not how they look at it. Because they see what righteousness striking like lightning can actually accomplish.
Amen.
In fact, they can accomplish far more than our many prayers. Because God, Jesus even said, you pray your many prayers, but what good are they? Because they're just, not that they're all bad, don't get me wrong. But the fact of the matter is, do we pray more often expecting something good to happen, or pray more often in reaction to something bad that has happened? And it's more of a, oh God, than an, oh God. And then we begin to join the enemies. Oh, why is this happening? What has happened? And the enemy will say, well, it's your fault, or it's somebody else's fault, or it's this, or it's that, or that. And Jesus says, my kingdom come, my will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Begin to see what the Lord has done so you can see what the Lord desires to do. Because he said, the things that I have done, you will do much more. Why will you do much more? Because there's more of us. There are 3, 6, 8, 9, counting me here. 11 turned the world upside down after Jesus died. So we can get a few nations and countries and a few continents. Right? Amen. If we will go forth in the name and in the power of Jesus, if we will go forth expecting God to accomplish abundantly above and beyond what we can hope or imagine, if you will just imagine what he's doing. It's time to review for the new and to see Jesus didn't go into distress when the enemy came around. He said what he heard God say and he chased the devil away. Look at Matthew chapter 4. The Spirit led Jesus into the desert. He was taken there to be tempted by the devil. What kind of a plan was that? Well, think about it. Jesus ate nothing for 40 days and nights. After this, he was hungry, and the devil came to tempt him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these rocks to become bread. Why would he go there to be tempted? I believe that he went there to be tempted to see the power of God. If we will trust the power of God when there's a temptation, when there's a trial, when there's a struggle, if we will review for the new, if we will look and see, how did Jesus handle it? Jesus didn't go, oh, not now, I'm so tired, I'm so hungry. Jesus said, it's not the bread that keeps people alive. Their lives depend on what God says. Imagine what that does for us. When we realize that our lives depend upon what God says. Our lives depend upon what God says. Say that. Say, my life depends on what God says. And think about it. Remember last week we said, if you hear my voice, listen to what I say. If you hear my voice, listen to what I say, Jesus said, and think about it. Not my voice, God's voice. But if you hear the voice of God in what I say, listen to it and think about it, because I guarantee you that the Spirit of God speaks to you the same way that he speaks to others through you. And if they hear your voice, then they should listen to what you say. If they will think about it, it's able to change their lives. Now, when we have that confidence, the kingdom of heaven here on earth, and we have the kingdom of God flowing through us, now then we have the confidence to say, really, seriously, the words that I'm telling you can change your life. Remember last Sunday when you all prayed for me? The overriding word that I heard as you were praying was the word deliverance. And I thought, oh, there's going to be some deliverance going on. Well, before I ever got to Sturgis, deliverance took place. I stopped at the jail because I received a text early in the morning from the husband of a man. His wife was in jail, and she wanted to have somebody stop and visit her. She wondered if I could stop and visit. So I stopped to visit her, and I talked to her for a while. I said, are you ready to be delivered? And she looked at me, and she said, yeah. And we prayed, and I said, you're free now. I texted her husband. I said, your wife is delivered now. Don't give up on her. It'll be all right. He thanked me. That's all I know for now, but I'll find out more. But you see, that word God gave me, I took it and passed it on. I said, you're delivered. Amen. Thank you, Lord. You've tried and tried and tried and tried and tried. You don't have to try anymore. Now all you got to do is agree with God. All you've got to do is agree with God. Amen. That's all we've got to do is agree with God. Agree with him. I'm sitting here to have to smile. Jordan and Jackson are here, you know. They used to have to come to church because their mom brought them. And here they are, all on their own, without mom. Because God has something special for them. God has something special for all of us. But we review for the new. So, Jesus said what he heard God say, and he chased the devil away. And then he came, and he fulfilled a scripture. The angels came, you know. He fulfilled the scripture. It says here that the people who live in spiritual darkness have seen a great light. The light has shined for those who live in the land that is dark as the grave. Okay? Do we live in a land that's becoming as dark as the grave?
Yes.
But you're a great light. You're the light of the world. Did you know that the darker things are, the more light shows up? So it's not the end of the world. It's the beginning of righteousness. It's the beginning of us, as the Lord said, just stepping out and doing. That thing keeps going through my mind and what the man said. He said, the difference between me and you is when I pray for somebody dead and they don't get up, I pray for the next one. Just keep praying. What happens if you pray for 1,000 people and only one of them rises from the dead? Oh! That would be encouraging, wouldn't it? Right?
Amen.
But you'll never get the one if you won't pray for the 1,000. We were in the vicinity in the area of three different places on this trip where people died in motorcycle accidents. One was ahead of us. One was behind us while Shadow and I were coming back up to Rapid. And yesterday, just outside of Bluff, was another one. I have no idea, but I was thinking, oh, I wish they wouldn't have detoured us. They detoured us on a little gravel road around. It was just on that curve coming out of Bluff, headed east. Not the big curve, but just where the acceleration area is. So my imagination would be that everybody was accelerating and somebody accelerated over the top of somebody. I don't know. But it did look good. And I'm over there and I can see probably a body laying there with a sheet over it. Ambulances aren't going very fast, so, you know. And I'm thinking, man, I should have asked the patrolman if I could go up and pray. They probably would have told me no, but they might not have. But then, I could do it from where I was, half a mile away. But I didn't see the sheep move. But I prayed. And I prayed for righteousness to strike like lightning in that whole place, because there were probably three trailers full of people with motorcycles sitting alongside there, so whatever happened, you know. Who knows what God can do if we will pray? If we will review for the new. If we will look at what Jesus did and begin to believe that it will be the new in our life. Wherever we go, whatever we do, that something new from the kingdom of God, behold, I do a new thing, would go out before us or follow us or whatever the case might be, that we would just be open to the new that God wants to do. As Jesus walked by the Lake of Galilee, oh, in verse 17 it says, from that time Jesus began to tell people his message. Here was his message. Change your heart and your life because God's kingdom is coming soon. Now, obviously, he wasn't talking about the end of all things. He was talking about something new. But it takes a change of heart to believe it, doesn't it? We can catch a glimpse of God and ask Jesus into our lives and have a little change of heart. And then we believe that we're ready for a heaven someday cafe. And maybe so. I'm just sitting here, sipping coffee, waiting for heaven someday. But Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But it takes a change of heart to shift into that gear. I was telling Vicki, it was funny, when I visited people, I stopped and visited some of the prisoners on my way out to the hills because I knew I wouldn't get back this week to see them. And one gal said that I had stopped to visit her because she had given me a letter. And in the letter she had said that she was just most comfortable telling me about the fact that she had prayed. And she didn't know if her prayer was good or not, but it was, you know, it was her prayer. And I said, oh man, that's a perfect prayer. She just said, Lord, forgive me. And then when I visited her, she said, I don't know, maybe this is bad, but she said, I was reading the Bible. I was looking for a new tattoo. And, you know, I told her, I said, listen, my personal opinion would be you've probably got enough tattoos. But I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'll let God talk to you about it. But obviously, compared to all your other tattoos, Scripture would be an improvement. She lied. She was just, you know, but she told me, she said that the other pastor that came preempted his time with them by saying, I don't do a lot of praising or playing the guitar or anything like that. I thought, why bother to say that? And I talked to another guy, and he said the priest was here. He informed us that he knew there was a strong Pentecostal voice at the jail hall. And this prisoner said, you have a strong voice here, Roger. I said, why are they talking about me? They're supposed to be talking about Jesus. Their hearts need to be prepared for the new things God wants to do. And that's what we have to do. We've not arrived. I have not arrived. I've talked to the Lord about it. I've been on a treadmill instead of doing what you want me to do. You know, I mean, I want to be about the Father's business. But in order to step into the things that God would have us do, our hearts have to be changed. When we say, my life depends upon what God says, my heart has to change to agree with it. I have to agree with what seems in the natural like a silly thing of going around praying, let lightning strike like righteousness, let righteousness strike like lightning. But the more that I said it, the more I thought, that's a good one. Because when righteousness strikes, it changes people. Righteousness struck me like lightning. Or as Jacob said, this was the house of God and I didn't even know it. How many times before you came to know the Lord were you in the presence of God and didn't even know it? And that's why I say consider the things, the times in your life. For me, it was how many times should I died and I didn't. Those are easy ones to figure out. It hadn't been the goodness of God. But how many times? How many times was God there and you didn't know it? Thank Him for them. We begin to have the gratitude for when we say, wow, what God did is nothing compared to what God can do. And I'm ready for what God can do. I've seen glimpses of it. You've seen glimpses of it. We've seen God do some things, but what more could God do? If we're bold enough to say, you know, I saw God do that once, He'll do it for you. See, when you make a declaration to somebody, you're accountable for that. Ooh, that's a little scary. Here I was, texting a man who I do not know, telling him, your wife is free, don't give up on her. And his response was, thank you, stay in touch. It wasn't, well, we'll see. But when I saw his wife, she was really worried because he said, I can't do this again. But now he can. She's free. Satan is not be not removed and be cast into the sea, and it will be done. Ugh, that's a little far-fetched. No, it's not. It's small. If we believe God. If you can believe, all things are possible to them that believe. Look at Jesus goes walking by the sea and he tells these guys, come follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. My question that came to me when I read that was, what did God know about them that he told Jesus when Jesus called them? What were those guys saying? What was going on? You know, were Peter and John, were they fishing and talking about, man, I'm really tired of fishing. I feel like, John, this sounds strange, but I've been thinking about God lately. I don't know what was going on, but I know this. For some reason, when he called them, they dropped it and left. Goes a little further, two more brothers, sons of Zebedee. They're on the boat with their dad. He says, come on. Righteousness struck like lightning. Something happened. And they had a desire to hear what he had to say. That struck me in a Bible study. It had to be. To walk in with having done everything I could to cloud my mind and to have God square my mind up, that was a miracle. An absolute miracle. And then there was another miracle. I was able to realize that this was something that was bigger than me. And it just might be the answer. Folks, there's people out there looking for something bigger than them. They're looking for the kingdom of God, and you. You are carriers of the kingdom of God. If God be for you, who can be against you? If Christ be in you, that's why we're reviewing for the new. We're going to review, what did Jesus do? Because what happens otherwise is you have people reviewing, well, this is how the church has done it. Okay? I'm not knocking churches, but here's the deal. You have a Methodist church that considers homosexuals for pastors. If they would go back and review what Jesus would do, that wouldn't be a thing about it. If they would even review what Wesley did. But you see, they're not too wide open in their history. And it's the same thing with many. You see, we've become short-sighted and we've allowed the enemy to say, well, Jesus isn't doing it anymore. How many of you would like Jesus to be free to be Jesus? Wouldn't it be a more exciting world? When righteousness strikes like lightning. And so, they're following, and Jesus then sits down to teach the people. He went everywhere in the country of Galilee, he taught in the synagogues, and he told the good news about God's kingdom. So, what was the good news about God's kingdom? Apparently it had something to do with health, wealth, deliverance. It was good news. Because it says he taught in the synagogues, told the good news about God's kingdom, and healed all the people's diseases and their sicknesses. He told them about the good news, and then he did the good news. Amen. So is there anything that's too difficult for God? Jesus didn't think so. And he is reigning. R-A-I-N and R-E-I-G-N. He is reigning. But he chose to reign on us so that he could reign through us. Amen. Why doesn't God do something? God says, why don't you do something? Just like I said, Lord, I'd really like to get home dry. He said, no, talk to me. Talk to the weather.
Amen.
Well, it was to my benefit to do what he said. I didn't say, oh, Lord, I don't want to talk to the weather. You talk to the weather. I figured out if he said I needed to talk to the weather, if I didn't talk to the weather, I was going to be anything but dry when I got home. Not because he was going to rain on me for disobeying him, but because he wanted me to learn something. He wanted me to review for the new. Well, if that's the case, Roger, why don't you turn down the temperature, turn up the rain, do this, do that, do this, do that. I can only do what I hear the Father say. And I'm willing to say, and I'm willing to find out that I said what he didn't necessarily have on his mind, because you never get one to rise from the dead if you don't pray for it. Large crowds following. People from Galilee, the 10 towns, Jerusalem, Judea, and all across the Jordan River. People followed him because of the good news of the kingdom. What does the Lord want to do? Rather than reacting and having more confidence in what the enemy can do or what the enemy has been accomplishing, rather than reaction, let's be on the attack.
Amen.
Declaring what the Lord has said, declaring what the Lord can do. Jesus didn't go off on a pity party when the enemy came against him, when the enemy tried to trick him. He just said, this is what the Father says. And after three times, the devil went away. Three ain't bad. If it takes 30, if it takes 50, if it takes 100, who cares? Declare what the Lord has to say. If we're going to review for the new, we need to review Jesus.
Amen.
Not the enemy's past attacks, not the past failures, not our failures, not anybody else's failures, not somebody else's sickness, not somebody else's death, not what happened yesterday, not what somebody said yesterday, nothing. Old things pass away, all things become new, and we begin to declare a new thing. It's all new. And when we start acting that way, now we can say, not what you're going to do then. He's going to do what he did when Jesus resisted him. He's going to go away. Submit yourself, therefore, unto God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. Don't fear the devil. Resist the devil. Consider him, but consider him defeated. I'm reminded of one of the times when I went to Russia, and it was black. I mean, I felt it. I felt it, and it was oppressive, and it was like a thing of like, wow, the last couple times I've come, it has looked brighter. I could actually see that it just, the atmosphere seemed brighter. Seemed, you know, there were things going on from God. And this time when I came in, didn't matter what it looked like, it felt bad. It felt bad when I got off the first airplane. It felt bad all the way on the train. And it got progressively worse by the time I got to Brandt's, where I was going to minister. And I finally checked into a motel. I laid on my face and said, God, this ain't going to work. I will not accomplish a thing with this on me. You didn't put it here. The devil did. So I declare it finished. And in my estimation, it was. I was free. The oppression was gone. Everything was gone. But we had this woman who was an intercessor with us. And her impression of intercession was, it had to be laboring and heavy and just barely picking up the weight to be able to move. It was like an attitude of, well, if you've ever lifted weights, when you do bench presses, and the last one where somebody's going, come on, get it up, you get it up, and then you're all done. You guys have done that, haven't you? You get it all done, then you're done. That's not Jesus' idea. But Jesus' idea of it is shove it up and throw it away. But we went the first time to pray, and my goodness, it sounded like somebody was dying behind the curtain. Oh! Oh! Finally, I went to her and I said, that's a little distracting. We don't really need that. But we've got to know that he's interceding. I said, I did. I got here and prayed at the motel. It's okay. Well, she couldn't change her heart and mind to accept that. And so she continued to labor on something that she didn't have to labor on anymore. That's okay, that's fine, go ahead. But later then, she tried to accuse the rest of the team for not taking part in this great fight. And I said, no, that's not going to work. You're not going to try to make a bunch of people feel bad because they aren't doing what you're doing. I told you, I prayed. It's okay. But she wouldn't change her heart or change her mind. And so she was mad at me. Might still be mad at me 15 years later. I'm not sure. But that's okay. The truth was, God had heard my prayer. And she could have changed, as Jesus told the people, change. Change your hearts, change your lives, because God's kingdom is coming soon. When we hear the word of God, we can change our heart and change our life. We can line up with what God says. Oh, we can say, no, that doesn't work. Let me ask you something. If somebody gives you an idea that sounds like a better idea, isn't it worth trying it? Or not? I don't know. I've kind of been one to think if I ask somebody for an idea and they give me an idea that sounds like a better idea, I'm going to try the idea. Just because it doesn't make much sense to keep going the way I've been going, it's not giving me any progress. You know? I'm going to try it a different way. And this is what Jesus said. Okay, listen. Change your heart. Change your life. Kingdom's coming soon. So, if we're going along and all of a sudden we're stricken, we're knifed in the heart, our life is falling apart and nothing's going right, and Jesus says, okay, change your life, change it. Change your heart. Let's go this way. Well, there's the Spirit of God. Pulls the sword out of our heart. Puts peace in our minds. And now, here we are. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom is coming soon. The kingdom is coming as soon as we change our heart and change our life to go with the kingdom. So, what does that mean? Well, I have to be prepared to receive the word of God and grafted, okay? The word comes to me, I'm reading the word, and boom, it speaks to me. Okay, I'm changing my heart, I'm taking in that word. Now I've got to change my life to line up with the word. Now I've got to change, maybe I've been responding wrong to life, I've got to change my life and respond the way the word's having me respond. I got to begin to say what God says, not what he said, not what she said, not what happened yesterday, not nothing. This is what God says. Amen. It's like Jesus could have said, of course, I could turn every rock here into bread. We could have more bread than anybody could eat that would mold on the ground. But nah, I depend. My life depends on what God says. Yeah, I'm hungry. But I'm more hungry for God than I am for what you have to offer me. Yeah, I could jump off that temple, do an Olympic-style dive, land perfectly safe. I could hover for a while if I wanted to, but God says, don't tempt the Lord your God. I don't need to do that. At the same time, you can push me off that cliff, and I'd never get hurt. I know that. Like I say, I know that I know that God protects me when I'm on a motorcycle. But I don't close my eyes and ride without my hands on the steering wheel. I don't pull out in front of traffic to watch the angels stop the trucks. But I know that I know that I know that He protects me. And I know that I know that I know that by saying that I know that He protects me, that just makes the enemy mad. And that some people would say, you better be careful. Don't say that. The devil will get you. He got to go through God to get me. And so I'm not going to be afraid of him and what he can do. I'm going to rejoice in God and what he can do. Do you see how that changes our hearts and our lives when we begin to operate the way that the kingdom says? Now, we have to talk ourselves into it sometimes. Because ourselves say, yeah, that's real good. I'm glad everything's good for you, but what about this, and this in my life? Where are they? Are they in the past or are they in the future? Do you want to bring them to the future or do you want a different future? Leave the old things behind. Today. Jesus said, today, if you hear my voice, listen to what I say. I know about all the other stuff. Not to be callous, but in so many words, Jesus said, so? Do you want to keep letting what happened before rob you of what's ahead? Or would you like to just come with me? I'm becoming convinced that going with God is an adventure that we haven't even begun to glimpse yet. And if we focus on that, we're going to experience what God has planned. So when we review, it's for the new. What did Jesus do? What's he going to do? Being convinced in our hearts that he has not retired. Being convinced in our hearts that he doesn't just sit in heaven and intercede with no fruit. If he lives forever to intercede for us, do you think anything good could happen? Since every prayer that he prayed while he was on the earth accomplished abundant things? So then if he says, righteousness strike with lightning. If he says, rain there, there's good seed. Rain there, there's good seed. When we say, rain on me, Lord, we're saying, I'm ready to grow. I'm ready to go with what you have prepared for me. So review for the new. Review what God has done. Even review what God could have done in a situation if we'd have just had God there. I went to my college football coach and I told him, I said, I apologize. I would have been so much better athlete if I had known Jesus in college. His response should have been, you got that right. But it wasn't. He was, all of this. He led a Bible study, but he didn't need a good one. But I knew that. I looked at that and I said, my goodness, how much better would I have been if I had been operating in the kingdom of God? Well, that's past. So review for the new, that won't be that way anymore. What I didn't know, I can't fix. But if I don't fix what I do know, that's on me. Instead of limiting God, I think maybe it's time for Christians to try to stretch it. Which is impossible. Because there's nothing impossible for God. But it's almost impossible to get us to change our hearts and lives enough to allow him to do what he wants to do. And only we can do it. He won't force us, but he offers us the opportunity. So today, if somewhere in the midst of this, you've heard the voice of the Lord, if somewhere in the midst of this, the Spirit of the Lord has tweaked you a little bit, take the time to listen to him and say, what was that about, God? What's it all about, God? Hallelujah. What is it all about, God? What is the new that we are reviewing for? What's coming? Well, you don't have to tell us, Lord. We just have to present ourselves to you as living sacrifices, prepared to do whatever you tell us to do. To pray, to say, to walk, to run, to declare the good news of the kingdom. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for the joy that is set before us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.